Chapter 8. The Family Business. "Easy now, Darren," Harry says. "You want to lure him out, not rile him up." My lips are dry as they dance across the pipes, but I'm too nervous to wet them. I can hear the coraline coming, smell its stink, but even with my night eyes I can't spot it in the thick trees. Harry Roller sits on a log in the centre of the clearing, keeping a steady accompaniment on his cello. The master jongleur is calm, confident, but it's all I can do to keep my hands from shaking as I call to a demon with my pipes. The mournful tune we're playing is a spell of sorts. Magic responds to emotion, and nothing stirs emotion like music. My playing is a story, telling the demon I am prey, vulnerable, but quick. I tell it to creep quietly close to take me by surprise. I don't want any of this, if I'm to tell honest word. It should be the militia hunting the demon, or even Mam. Knight, this is Bales' land. Why aren't Granda and my uncles out here with the hands? But in the brook, getting rid of lone wanderers has become just another chore no one else wants to do, like filling the egg basket and milking the cows. My dad was famous for killing demons. Everyone expects I will be too, once I've had a little practice. "Careful now." Aunt Celia hovers protectively, nearby, in full armour, shield in hand and spear at the ready. Her long grey hair is pulled into a tight bun, visible at the base of her helmet, as she scans the trees around us and the branches above. "Don't see them till they strike sometimes." Fear sweat breaks out above my mouth to mock the dryness of my lips. I don't want to be here. I'd rather be playing my pipes down by the swimming hole or even weeding the fields. Night, I'd rather read a book. Anything but sitting in the dark trying to call a demon. But this is what folk expect of the deliverer's son. They know I have a bit of magic and want me to use it like my dad did, keeping folk safe from callings. But my magic doesn't work like his did, or Mam's. Despite lessons from as far back as I can remember, I'm no great warder, and I don't like to fight. I can't turn into mist, lift a hay wagon over my head. The only thing I've ever really been good at is playing my pipes. I thought that would be enough to let folk know I wasn't my dad, but Mam wasn't satisfied with jaunty tunes. She skated to Hollow and asked Harry Roller, a master jongleur, to come all the way to Brook to teach me to charm callings. When your dad saves a world, it can cling to you like a skunk's stink. A rumbling builds in the boughs overhead, resonating with my playing. I stiffen as the wood demon appears, crawling down the trunk of a thick tree like a possum. Its corded arms are long and sinuous, small body, armoured in the same rough texture and colour as the tree bark. Harry is not impressed. "Lot of work to lure a crawling that's more stump than tree." "Don't get swollen," Celia warns. "Give it half a chance, and even a stump demon's strong enough to rip any of us in two." She's right. I can see the crawling's magic shining in the night. Sweat forms on my fingers, making them slippery on the pipes. But my wind is steady as I continue to draw the demon closer. It can no more see me than I could see it a few minutes ago. Around my shoulders is Mam's cloak of unsight. Its wards bend the flow of magic around me, making me invisible to demon eyes. Celia and Harry are similarly protected. But a demon's senses are as keen as mine. It can smell us in the air, hear our breath, the creak of Celia's armour, Harry's murmured instructions. It knows we're here, somewhere. Cautiously, it creeps closer. In moments, I will be in range of its talons. I begin thinking less about the pipes and more about the short bow slung across my back. If I took it off my shoulder now, I'd probably have enough time to shoot the demon before it recovered its wits. Probably. Aunt Celia raises her spear, armour creaking as she tightens her grip.
Not yet, Celia. Give the boy time to practice.
Harry's playing gets louder, giving lie to his confidence. He's ready to take over the moment I stumble. I sniff the air, catching his worried scent. Night. He expects me to stumble. Knows like a hound, Mum says. Just one on a long list of ways I'm different from other folk. I wonder what it's like for everyone else, unable to smell what the people around them are feeling, where they've been or what they've been doing. The way folk tell it, by the time Dow was my age, he'd have picked this demon up like a hen that stopped laying and broken its neck. Me? They expect me to lose nerve. I suck in a quick breath and quicken the tempo, instilling in the demon a sense that its prey might flee. It approaches more aggressively now, seeking the source as I stand and walk it around the small clearing until it has its back to Celia and her spear. So fixed on my music, the demon pays her no mind. With a flourish, I stop playing and throw back my cloak. The stumped demon's eyes widen and it bears rows of sharp teeth, tamping its muscles to spring. Celia is quicker, thrusting her spear with two hands into the Corling's back. Wards on the blade flare as it punches through the demon's armour, severing its spine. The demon gives a thrash and falls to the ground, twitching. Stupid and reckless boy! Celia pulls her spear free in a spray of ichor. What if I missed? I try not to think about that.
You never miss. Everyone misses now and then, Celia says.
But I catch a whiff of pleasure on her scent as she kicks the demon onto its back. It stares at her with glossy black eyes.
Ain't dead. We leave it be, Corling will heal even a wound like this in a few minutes.
I nod, taking the bow off my shoulder as she prepares a killing blow. A growl from above checks her. I've got an arrow strung before anyone moves, but the boughs hide the source as the sound echoes from tree to tree. Is it a single demon moving, or...
Ent hunters anymore?
Celia buries her spear in the stumped demon's eye, twisting to scramble its brains. The wards on the weapon brighten, and I can see the power running along the shaft into her hands and up her arms, filling her with strength. She rolls her rounded shield off her shoulder and onto her thick arm.
We're prey.
My hands start to shake, jostling the arrow I have knocked. I take a deep breath and will them into stillness, but I can hear what Harry and Celia cannot. We're surrounded. Harry puts bow back to string and his cello hums to life. The metal spike that grounds the instrument is silver, infused with demon bone and etched with wards of resonance that amplify his playing. It's said Harry Roller can charm a whole copse of wood demons, but before he can build a melody, he's interrupted by a loud crack. A huge bough drops from the trees above, branches spread wide like a net. He reacts quickly, but while nimble for his years, Harry carries the weight of 83 winters, and cello's ain't suited to hurry. He stumbles, the instrument flying from his hand as he falls. I don't have the kind of magic my dad had. I can't fly or destroy demons with a wave of my hand. I can't cleanse the land of their taint for 100 miles in every direction. Mam says it's because I haven't learned to control my magic, but I think it just came differently to me than it did to her and dad. They got their power from warding their flesh and eating demon meat. I was born with mine. But I'm fast. Faster than a skittish doe, Mam says. Harry has just begun his fall when I catch him, hauling him away from the falling bough. We're buffeted by small leaves and branches, but make it out relatively unscathed. Celia rushes to my side, covering us with her shield.
Get behind me! Cloaks up!
The words are calm, efficient. There is no fear in her demeanour, but I can smell it in her sudden sweat. I throw up the hood of my warded cloak and turn to Harry, only to see his cloak hanging in tatters from the fallen branches. Two wood demons drop from the trees to stand at opposite sides of us. These are much larger than the stump demon that lured us here. 8 feet tall, with thick, gnarled armour and long, branch-like limbs. They lumber at us like solstice trees come to life. Aunt Celia and I put Harry between us. I raise my short bow and fire. The shot sparks as it punches into a woody shoulder, but the demon only roars and picks up speed. The other Quarling lunges for Celia. Like a thunderbolt, the wards on her shield blaze to life as she catches the blow. I fire again as the demon moves in on us, but I'm scared, and my sweaty fingers let loose too quickly. The shot flies wide, but the demon, perhaps remembering the sting of the previous one, flinches anyway. It stumbles, and for a moment I have a clear shot at its head. I fire, but its horns are a nest of twisted branches that steal the arrow's momentum, catching it fast before it can penetrate the skull. As I fumble to knock another arrow, the Quarling recovers and swipes the bow from my hands, sending it flying across the clearing. I know I should run as it rears back for a killing blow, but Harry is behind me, defenseless. Or so I think. But then Harry throws a warded knife, embedding it in the wood demon's throat. It stumbles away, choking and clawing at the blade, but the wards on the handle prevent the Quarling from pulling it free. I don't think it's a killing blow, but the creature is out of the fight. I unfasten my warded cloak and give it to the old man to replace the one he lost in the bows. There are booms and flashes of magic as Celia and the other wood demon exchange blows, but I've seen this before. For a moment or two, they will seem evenly matched, and then Celia will figure out its weakness and the fight will end suddenly. I think we have a chance. Until another two wood demons appear at the edge of the clearing. Farther back, I glimpse more in the trees. I'm so fixated I don't notice the field demon in the branches above me until it drops. Fieldies are sleek and flexible, built like 200-pound barn cats. They're designed to race across open plain, but they climb nearly as well as wood demons. I look up, seeing little more than a mass of teeth and claws fast approaching. A shriek and quick step out of the way. The field demon hits the ground with a bounce, coming right at me. I'm fast, but not faster than a field demon, and I've never been particularly strong. The demon outweighs me by at least 50 pounds, but I've always been slippery. I can't dissipate into mist like Mam or the warded children. I can't melt into the ground like a Quarling fleeing the morning sun, but I can relax, squeezing bonelessly into spaces too small for me, like a mouse pressing through a tiny crack under the door. When I do, my skin and clothes turn frictionless, making it near impossible to get a grip on me. The demon knocks me from my feet, but I melt away from its scrabbling claws, rolling around in the dirt until I'm on its back, hooking my legs over its thighs and wrapping my arms around its throat. Then I pull my other trick, the opposite of going slippery. I suck in, halving the length of my arms as they become dense with compressed mass. The demon is stronger than I am, but I have leverage, and even Quarlings need breath. It thrashes and makes choked sounds, attempting to dislodge me, but I'm tougher like this, and hang on in sheer terror as it bashes me against the ground. In time I might strangle the demon, but not before the ones coming out of the trees reach us. I'm tough when I suck in, but I don't want to test it against wood demon claws. Harry throws his other knife, but this one skitters off a wood demon's bark without sticking. The demon seems not to notice as it stalks in. Celia is still locked in combat with the first wood demon. It moves with surprising speed and agility for such a big, stiff brute. She still appears to be in control, but with more approaching, her advantage won't last. I give up my hold and go slippery again. The demon immediately twists around to bite and claw at me, but I pop from its grasp like a wriggling fish. I land on my feet and dart back to Harry and Celia, pulling the pipes from my belt. I raise the instrument to my lips just as the wood demon fighting Celia swipes upward with one log arm, knocking her shield up and baring a seam in her armor joint. One of its long talons flashes and something spatters my face. I touch my hand to it, fingers coming away wet with blood. Celia's shield arm collapses, and she staggers, trying to keep her spear up. "Aunt Celia!" I don't think as I charge in. The demon has its talons raised for a killing blow, but it glances my way at the sound. It catches sight of me, and its focus immediately shifts. I raise my hand like Mum tried to teach me, taking all my fear and anger and focusing it into my finger as I trace a heat ward in the air, powering it with my own magic. The symbol flares, and the demon flinches with a yelp of pain as sparks fly across its chest. But I don't have the power to set the creature ablaze. The effort leaves me drained, and I stumble to one knee. We're surrounded now, corlings gathering from all sides, and I've only one trick left to play. I lift the pipes, desperation lending me focus as I recall Harry's lessons and blow a series of rapid notes, high and discordant, that affect the demons like a schoolmam's nails on a chalkboard. The approaching demons flinch and take a step back. One of their number lies twitching on the ground, an arrow in its shoulder and a knife in its throat. Another growls with pain at the scorch marks on its chest. I weave these threats into my song, if the atonal sounds can even be called that, instilling fear in the corpseborn. It's not enough to drive them away completely, but they keep out of reach, hissing and growling as they begin to circle. I can't play forever, and they know it. I look to Celia, but Harry is already with her. The old man has pulled 100 coloured cloths from his jongleur's bag of marvels, knotting a tourniquet. His hands and the bright silks are covered in blood, and I wonder if Celia will die, if all of us are going to die. Her arm's nearly severed, Harry says. We need help, boy, and quick. She'll lose the arm either way, but if we don't get a gatherer, she'll bleed to death first. I look around, not knowing how that's possible. Celia can't walk, and neither of us is equipped to carry her, and if I stop playing for even a moment, my hands are slick with sweat and beginning to shake with fear. I can't play much longer in any event. I scan the clearing, spotting Harry's cello, and point to it with the pipes. He nods, pulling my warded cloak close and putting up the hood. So long as he doesn't move too quickly, he'll be invisible to the demons. Slowly he makes his way to his instrument, avoiding the probing claws of demons that can smell and hear him as they swipe blindly at the air. Sweat drips into my eyes, but I'm afraid to take my hands away from the pipes long enough to brush it away. I feel my heart pounding in my chest as he finds the cello, but fumbles for long moments looking for the bow. At last he finds it, and I wait long, excruciating moments as he tightens the horsehair and cleans it of debris. The demons hiss as he is forced to throw open the cloak and sit on the fallen bow. Putting the instrument between his legs, I cast a worried glance at Celia. Her eyes are open, but I can see her life glow fading. The air is so thick with the smell of her blood, it overpowers everything else. A discordant twang makes me shudder, and the pipes slip from my lips. I glance back and see Harry frowning as he struggles to fix a broken string. The demons surge forward, but I resume playing, and they start circling again, just out of striking distance. At last, Harry sets his bow, and the cello comes to life. Go, boy! I drop the pipes to hang from their strap, running as fast as I can. A demon steps into my path, but I go slippery, sliding past quick as a horsefly. The demons shriek. I hear them give chase, but I don't dare look. It would only slow me when I need to be swift. Grandfather's great word is barely a mile away. At a full sprint, it's barely a minute. But even without looking, I can hear the field demons gaining on me, and don't know if I can make it in time. I howl, and fear gives me new strength as I put on speed. The night wind is cold on my tears. At last, Grandfather's farmstead comes in sight, the great word glowing softly in the darkness. Mam! The scream, born of terror, rips my throat. Mam! Help! Before I even reach the farm, a mist rises in front of me, coalescing into the shape of Rena Bales, my mother. Her long brown hair is tied in a thick braid, and she wears a simple sleeveless dress of homespun wool. Her tanned skin is unmarked, Mum's eyes narrow as I pull up short and she takes in the sight of me. I notice for the first time the blood on my hands, and honestly don't know if it's mine. She looks up, seeing the pursuing demons, and her mouth becomes a tight line. Wards appear all over her body, the flowing script glowing beneath her skin. They're always there, silver ink waiting beneath layers of dermis. Mum can call them with an act of will, but they sometimes glow when her emotions run hot. It's wise to step lightly at times like that. Mum slips free the large knife she always keeps at her belt. I know it belonged to her father, but not much more. Harl Tanner died before I was born, and no one in the family ever talks about him. A pair of field demons lead the chase, but Mam's knife seems to cut the air, leaving a trail of silver fire as she carves a field ward. The charging callings hit it full speed, flattening like sparrows on a window. Three wood demons bring up the rear, but the heat wards Mam cuts are quick and precise. She doesn't stumble or lose her glow like I did from the drain, but one by one, the demons are immolated in flames. One of them continues its attack, bashing at her, with bark arms all ablaze. Mam dissolves into mist, and the blows pass through her like smoke as she slips past the burning woodies to face a pair of shrieking flame demons bringing up the rear of the attack. They're no bigger than badgers, but their scales are hard as diamond, and their fire spit is hot enough to set stone ablaze. One stops short, hawking a wad of burning phlegm it spits at her. Mam slaps it aside with the flat of her blade, fire spit wards on her hand, snuffing the flames like a candle. She cuts a cold ward into the air, and steam hisses from the flame demon's body. Then it begins to shriek, as hot scales whine and crack under the strain of rapid condensation. She cuts a tiny impact ward, and the demon shatters like a dropped plate. The other flamer leaps at Mam, claws leading, but she bats them away and skewers the demon on her knife. It spits fire, but she lifts a hand, absorbing the magic. Her wards brighten in waves coming from the knife's hilt as she intensifies the draw, drinking the crawling's magic like a glass of lemonade on a hot day. And no place in the world as safe as Mam's apron strings. I sob, realizing things are going to be okay.
Where are the others? Mam lets the dead demon slide from her knife.
In the clearing, I choke.
Celia, she's hurt.
Show me, Mam says.
Hurry now.
I run full speed for the clearing, but Mam paces me easily. When she hears Harry's playing, she effortlessly pulls ahead to enter the clearing first. Harry's cello is out of tune, and the dirty bow whines on the strings. It gives his music an air of desperation that holds the demons close, even as the harsh sounds keep them at bay. I can see his hand shaking on the strings. Aunt Celia lies next to him, limp and pale, her breath shallow. The sight crushes me. Her butter cookies are the greatest thing I've ever smelled. And no matter how many times she caught me stealing them, she never stopped setting them on the windowsill. Now I can smell her dying, and it's my fault. I'm supposed to be the deliverer's son, but when demons came, all I could do was run.
That's enough, Harry, Mam says. Go on and help Darren with Celia.
Aye, Harry nods, the bow dropping from suddenly nerveless fingers. Harry sees his hands shaking and quickly stuffs them in his armpits, giving Mam a little bow.
Thank you, Mrs. Bales.
I dash to Celia and panic when I get a clear look. Her eyes are glassy and wet, half open, staring at nothing. Her skin is pale and cold. I focus, filtering the surrounding noise, and find her heartbeat. It's slow, weak, fading.
Mam? It's gonna be all right, Darren.
Mam's gaze is locked on the demons, shaking off Harry's spell. They pace back and forth, growling as they work themselves up to an attack.
Might want to cover your eyes.
A low rumble forms in the back of Mam's throat, and the demons howl in answer to the challenge. They spring forward, and Mam's wards flare. Harry and I have barely a second to close our eyes and throw up an arm before they become blinding. The demons in front turn to ash as the light strikes them,
Those farther back hit the ground on fire. They shriek and roll about, attempting to smother the flames. There's a crashing above, and I look up to see stunned demons raining down from the boughs. These, Mam sets to with her knife, doing more damage than even their infernal healing powers can recover from. The sheer number of Quarlings is terrifying. Finding a single wanderer near settled land is uncommon. Two or three is rare, but Mam's killed a dozen so far, and still more turn and flee into the woods. This was never some lone wanderer. This is a pack. In an eye blink, Mam crosses the distance to us. All right, Celia, let's have a look. Her knife is hot with ichor as she cuts away Harry's makeshift bindings. Bile rises in my throat as I see Celia's arms. The demon's talons cut all the way through the bone, leaving the arm attached by little more than a flap of skin and some muscle. I choke the gorge back down and it roils in my stomach, burning. Mam clucks as she lifts the arm, fitting the cloven bone back together. Hold still now. Barely awake, Celia ain't capable of much else. The wards on Mam's hands brighten, and the muscles, tendons, and arteries of Celia's arm reach out like grasping fingers, finding their severed ends and weaving back together. In moments, the limb is reattached. Mam slides a glowing finger around the wound, erasing even the scar. Colour returns to Celia's skin, and something of its old warmth. Her eyes regain lucidity. Be a bit weak for a few days, Mam says, and you'll be hungry as a core. Better than having to cut the left sleeves from all my dresses, Celia croaks through dry lips. Thank you, dear.
You all right, Darren?
Mam doesn't wait for me to answer. My body itches as she draws magic through me and reads the current. Just scrapes and scratches, I say, but she already knows. She knows everything now. How scared I was. How ashamed I am. I feel tears coming and I want to run away before they come, but I ain't brave enough with the calling still out there. I try to take a breath, but my chest is too tight. It's all I can do to choke out. I'm sorry.
Whatever for?
Harry asks. We'd both be in a demon's belly if not for you. Only because I ran for help, I say.
Nonsense, my boy, Harry says. That branch would have crushed me like a mouse in a trap.
Mam lays a hand on my shoulder.
Sure you did all you could.
Did I? I pull away, turning to face her. Tried my bow, but I was too scared to shoot straight. My heat ward was about as useful as a festival cracker. Tried to hold them back with my pipes, but I was so shaky I could barely play. The tears start coming and there's nothing to do but let it happen. Everyone's looking for me to be the deliverer's son, but there's no tales of Da leaving folk behind to run for help.
No one expects you to be your Da, Darren, Celia says quietly.
Everyone expects it, I say. I can smell it on them. They're just too sunny to admit it. And all I ever do is disappoint.
Ain't thinking clearly, Darren, Mam says. Fighting does that. It's desperate and chaotic and scary as spit. Gotta make it up as you go, and things don't always work like you planned.
She reaches out and takes me by the shoulders.
But you kept your head, and everyone got back alive. Running to me ain't something to be ashamed of. It was smart. Proud of you.
She pulls me into a hug, squeezing out the last of the tears. I take a full breath at last as she turns to Harry. She reads him, same as me, then reaches out a hand. The old jongleur takes it, and the ambient magic drifting over the ground rushes into him as she pulls him to his feet. The effect is immediate, straightening Harry's back and adding a youthful spring to his step.
Thank you,
he says. Mam lifts Celia, armour and all, as easily as she would a babe.
Let's get back to the house.
Mam's wards are bright enough to light our way home. The goldwood fence around the fields and yards sketches the shape of a greatwood. Everyone breathes a sigh of relief when we cross into its sucker. Mam turns, eyes scanning the night, searching for something. When she doesn't find it, she exhales slowly, shedding the excess magic she's been holding. Her wards dim, and then disappear beneath her flesh. Magic pooling at her feet before being sucked into the greatwood, strengthening its protection.
No one leaves the greatwood till sunup, Mam says. Come on inside and I'll put the kettle on.
Grandad Jeff added to his farmhouse over the years and let me have the new attic as my room, as far as possible from the bustling commons two floors below. Still, I can hear every quiet word as adults talk down in the kitchen over tea and Mam's butter cookies, which have never been as good as Celia's. It feels like trying to recall some terrible dream as I listen to Aunt Celia's account of what happened, focusing mostly on the wood demon she fought.
Faster than any wood demon had a right to be, Celia says. Fought smart. Knew how to get round the wards on my shield and armour. And they were waiting for us. It was a bushwhack.
It could be a mimic riling them up, Mam suggests. They're cunning, and lesser callings obey them. Aunt Celia once told me how she fought a mimic demon before I was born. I had nightmares for a month after. Mimics were shapeshifters. Smarter than other demons, they would learn their victims' names and then take the form of someone they trust, calling for them to step off the safety of the wards.
Cunning demon wouldn't set a trap next to the ripping Bales family farm, Celia says. Plenty of isolated farms with nothing but ward posts around the fields. Why hunt next to the strongest greatwood for 100 miles?
A mind, then, Mam allows. Testing our defences or looking for something.
Or someone, Celia adds.
Aye, Mam agrees. But she doesn't elaborate. She doesn't need to. Mimics can pretend to be someone, you know. But minds can take a body over completely, turning folk into puppets. They were the generals of the Demon War, at least until my dad killed them all.
You think he's back?
Celia asks quietly. I don't know who they mean, but I can't ask from two floors up, so I listen carefully, hoping for a clue.
Didn't say that, Mam says. Might just be a juvenile mind that escaped the purge. Even a young mind demon ain't just anything, Renna, Celia scoffs. Last one to come to the brook nearly tore us apart. Town was in flames before it was done. Folk turning on their neighbours and thinking it righteous.
Mam makes a spitting sound. Brooks always had that problem, Celia.
Can't deny it, Celia said. Folk gossip and judge and don't always do what's right. But when the night is darkest, we always stand together.
If there is a mind looking for you, the brook will be safer with me and Darren far away, Mam cuts in.